Now look at this. A snake in the birdhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Hello to my little green airborne friends.
Hello, snake.
How we doing?
Hello. Hey, man. How are you?
Still.
Good.
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing, except for just a tad verklempt, a little sore throaty. I dragged something back from California.
Yeah,
for
you
sure.
did. He kept telling me every night at the bar you were going to do that exact same thing.
I know. Okay, so from PJ, why do people who have never been on a cruise speak so badly about it without ever trying one? Why do they look at the cheapest cruise line and assume all ships are the same experience? Why are people so afraid of a potential good time?
Of course.
I agree wholeheartedly. Because you hear one story about something going wrong on a cruise ship and go, oh, see, that's how it goes. That's why I don't go, because things like that happen. And it's one story out of thousands of cruises.
Right. Just, it's like saying I'm not going to fly because planes crash all the time. Right.
That has nothing to do with it. I've never been on a cruise. The idea of the cruise has no appeal to me. And it has nothing to do with something could go wrong or any of that. It has to do with I don't want to be on a ship with a bunch of other people.
Stupid takes.
I don't have any desire to do it, but I do believe if I did do it, that I would have a good time. Like, I don't think that they're unfun vessels.
You will have fun. I've been on a couple. It's been a long time since I've been on one, and I'm not actively looking to go on another one, but the two that I went on, I had a blast.
But I do feel that for whatever reason, the cruise does get the worst rap of any of, like, the vacation theme type things you can go on. And Netflix has the poop cruise documentary going.
Right.
And that's your advertising for it.
I know.
Yeah, but that's one thing that happened 12 whatever years ago that was. So I wouldn't even think that that's something that would be realistic possibility if I was going to go on a cruise. Now, I will say all the footage I've seen of cruises, all the pools look like there's a gazillion people in them, and the decks outside are always full of people, and that's just not for me.
Too many people?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel you. From Ranch, what's the best frozen meal you just buy from the store? He says, I feel like it's lasagna. That's easily the best.
That's probably true.
Lasagna is definitely up there.
I would say any casserole.
Waffles are good. You can get those frozen at the store.
Chicken strips.
Yeah.
Why is lasagna, though? I mean, I totally agree with him that lasagna is number one. Mm-hmm. Is it because it's so easy to make?
Or I guess when you leave it and you, like, some meals are better if you prepare them the night before and then you warm them up and they're better. So maybe that's the case with lasagna. I don't know.
What about fish? Because you can get frozen salmon, and it's really good.
No, but it's like frozen. You usually don't get your fish frozen. I'm talking about frozen meals, like a Salisbury steak or something. Like a Hungry Man, which I used to eat so much when I was coming up. So many fish sticks, so many Hungry Man meals, so many pizzas.
Yeah.
Like, my kids eat tons of frozen food, whether it's waffles or pancakes or chicken strips or any of that stuff. But I can 100% say they have never had a TV dinner, a frozen TV dinner.
Well,
like with the
living.
Mashed potatoes and the green beans and all that.
The mashed potatoes are still frozen.
I had a thousand of those growing up.
100,000.
Those used to be very popular. I think they kind of fell off a little bit, didn't they?
Are they a thing? Meals. Like, do you? I don't even, like, when I go to the store, I don't even see them.
They have to be.
I haven't had a frozen meal in a very long time that I'm aware of.
Get a Hungry Man for $4.79 right now.
A complete meal. Even with dessert.
Salisbury steak.
Well, Lean Cuisines got really big for a while, where a lot of people were eating things like that.
Right.
And the Weight Watchers type meals and those things.
But man, there was nothing more tense than pulling back that plastic veneer thinking you're going to burn yourself.
Yeah, the steam would scald you immediately.
Yes.
And the directions, you always, like, always
wrong. Yeah.
Way less than the directions
said. Right. But the dessert in the Hungry Man was always bad. Because it was like a little brownie over there, and it was always
cobbler.
Burnt to a crisp on the outside and doughy on the inside. But all you had to do was just, stir the mashed potatoes, turn over the meat halfway, you're fine. There are ways around it.
Yeah, plus...
Okay, when's the last time you had one, Donovan?
A Hungry Man?
Oh, it's been a long
like
long
the time. 90s?
Yes. Well, you know what? The last frozen meal I had, if you consider it a meal, was a pizza. I had a frozen pizza, warmed it up, and ate it.
That doesn't count.
You don't think so?
No, everybody does that.
Even
but
still?
I mean, like a true
frozen pizza, man.
A true meal. What do you mean? You don't have frozen pizzas?
I haven't had a frozen pizza. I don't even know the last time I had one.
Man, their game has been the frozen pizza.
Yeah, they've upgraded. I remember when the Stouffer's came out. That was the game changer. Like Stouffer's the one on the good. French bread.
Yeah,
I thought that was it. Cause I just had Totino's.
Matt, exactly, Matt. I'm telling you. There are brands out there. You'll eat a frozen pizza and you'll think, did this someone just deliver this to me? I think that's like an
DiGiorno,
advertisement.
DiGiorno, I get it.
For lunch.
It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno.
Not even DiGiorno. There's a couple other ones out there that are really good. Red Baron.
Let's see. Do voiceover actors that translate to a foreign language stay with an actor? Meaning... He says, is there a Mexican running around that's the voice of Charles Bronson? Like, is there a Chinese Arnold Schwarzenegger running around?
And so he's saying, like, every movie Arnold does, the same...
Like a stuntman.
Chinese guy
and
would
you have
voice
the voiceover. No, yes. I'm going to say it's going to be different every single time.
I wonder if the actor gets to choose that.
Tom Hanks' brother does all of his Toy Story stuff.
Interesting.
In a different language?
Well, the American version and Canadian too, I guess.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
His brother does all of the Woody voiceover stuff from Toy Story.
Are you guys understanding what he's saying?
It's not Tom Hanks that's doing the voice. It's
on the movie it is, but like all of the like extra stuff, the TV shows, video games.
Oh, okay. We're talking about like when they, when Toy Story is
shown in Japan.
Yes.
And it's obviously, when you listen to it, it's dubbed over in Chinese.
I'm going to say it's not the same actor or actress. It's just whoever's
there. I would think it'd be different.
Because sometimes the voice just it doesn't even fit and it's great.
But like, is he walking around Beijing and people are like, oh my God, it's the Chinese Tom Hanks?
No, because there's a voiceover and you don't see him.
Right. Somebody's in line.
Are you drunk?
It's his pickup line when he goes to bars.
Hey, I'm the voiceover for Woody in Toy Story.
Did you know that when he has to come to France, it is me that is voicing his name?
Yeah, no. Oh, God. No one knows. That's not a good pickup line.
I am Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's not dragging anything out because of that.
Tsunami survival. Give us your best tips other than to get to higher ground based on what happened last night.
I don't know.
That's all you got?
Own a surfboard? I have no idea.
And you're like, still not going to survive.
There's no way you can survive it, right? Like, you have to get to higher ground. I don't know.
Although that was in the documentary Gilligan's Island, that was one of the episodes. Duke, the surfer from L.A., took a tsunami all the way to Gilligan's Island and then took it back.
And then he didn't even ask for the others to join him?
No.
And they just stayed there and watched him go away and everything
was
fine.
They literally waved to him as he went away.
That's probably why Gilligan's Island is the dumbest show that's ever been put on television.
Dude, I agree. It was awful.
Dumb.
And I watched every episode.
I didn't. I knew
I don't
early
think there were that
on,
many. There were only like three or
time.
Four seasons of it.
That's it?
It was terrible. Here's the thing about the tsunami is that anything, it's because it's water that we as human beings, and we just saw this down in the hill country, we don't respect water the same way that we do wind.
You're correct.
Because with water, we drink it, we swim in it, there's sports that are played in it, it's part of our lives, we don't think anything of it, but with like tornadoes and cyclones and hurricanes and all that, that we never see that unless it's destructive.
Well,
we don't think of water as being destructive, although it is the most destructive.
I know, but some people do have a healthy fear of water, but they get chastised if they do. Because they can't swim, and they really fear it, but then, swimming pool. Trust me, I heard this my entire life.
No, that's totally, if you don't know how to swim, you can't get in a swimming pool, you will drown.
I know.
Because you have no sense of how to keep yourself afloat.
And that's why people have a healthy fear of it.
Right. But I'm talking about like not just a swimming pool. It's like what Malcolm Jamal Warner went through with the riptide.
Like, the riptides, you see it at rivers and all the stuff. Like the Mississippi River is a great example of that. You can't swim in that. The undertow will pull you under and you will not survive.
I know.
Right.
I think everyone knows that.
And it's very, I did some open water swimming competitions, and even then, when you are in a lake, a normal lake, you can't see like 2 feet in front of your face. And it's really unnerving because you're trying to, you know, keep lifting your head up to see where you're going. And it, so I understand that. I mean, it can be very claustrophobic in the water.
Count me in as a fear of the water. I've always had a respect for it. You guys may not, water. But I do.
Well, I feel comfortable in water, but in certain situations, like a tsunami or flood water, that's
well, then
not,
you're done.
That's
everybody.
Not swimming.
Like, no, it's not.
If you see that coming for you,
you're dead.
Yes, you are.
You're
and
dead.
When that water hits you, there's a really good chance it'll knock you out or take the breath out of you and cause you to panic because it's moving very quickly.
So stop talking badly about people who have that fear of water.
And don't Nobody does.
Yes, you do.
I've heard you.
I've heard you. You've talked badly about me.
The other day.
And it forced me to learn how to swim.
At camp, Corby's sitting there going, Donnie, are you coming surfing with me tomorrow? And Donnie's like, no. I'm not getting in the ocean. Corby's like, what is wrong with you?
Bitch ass MF.
That's
water.
Exactly what he called me.
Bitch ass MF-er. Let's see. From Tim, he says, I was out in Oxnard last year. The Hispanic love for the Cowboys is insane. And it's obviously here in DFW as well. He says, what ethnicity is second when it comes to love of a sports team? Like, is there a...
Oxnard?
What?
Is there a group of French people that love the Utah Jazz? Or I don't know. Like
when the Slovenians loved the Mavs because Luka was on.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really
There's
good one.
There's a good one, yes. Yeah. Okay. But
now
is that
they're
second?
Huge Laker fans. Nah, I doubt if it's second.
Well, I wonder, like, the Stars have so many Finnish players. I wonder if there's a large Finnish fan base that is Stars fans because of that.
I bet you so. There's, you know, five or six of them now.
Right.
And so and the two best, or two of the three
right.
best at least.
Or if you want to watch a really good representation of hockey from your country, the Stars may be your team because you get to watch a handful of guys that you know.
That's exactly the case because they played over there last year against Florida, who also have a bunch of Finns.
Yep.
So there
I think
you go.
I'm trying to think in the Asian community if there's anybody that... Like, does the Chinese Tom Hanks know of anyone that group of people that are rooting for the Braves or something?
Well, Yao Ming.
Yeah, Yao. There were a ton of Rocket fans.
Yeah, or Ohtani or somebody like that that is over here that has a gazillion followers and everybody loves.
The Yao Ming one is interesting. I wonder if they continued with that fandom through his career, and now are they still Rocket fans?
I will bet you if they fell in love with the sport and enjoy basketball, then yeah.
Okay.
And maybe they changed teams. I don't know if it was just a player, but if they're basketball fans, then maybe they did stick around with Houston. That's a good question.
Ticket fight night, a Chinese Rockets fan versus a Mexican Cowboy fan.
Well, what about Jeremy Lin? I'm sure there were some people that when he was playing like for the Knicks or wherever he went that were big fans of Jeremy Lin or somebody like that. I think if you attach yourself, if you're not an American, you probably attach yourself to somebody from the same country as you, and maybe you become a fan of that team because of that.
I mean, maybe brothers in golf. Hit it up with Tiger.
Harold Varner III?
Yeah, but we're talking about like a foreign country.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Unless you want to consider...
Like how many Canadians are
a foreign country, Donovan, which I do not.
Unless you want to consider the Hispanic community a foreign country since you brought it up about the Cowboys.
Ooh. I forgot about them. Leave me alone. I've lost the argument.
Hey, I'm dragging you down in the current with me, buddy. I'm not going by myself.
From Steve-O, he says, just saw Superman. What was the first superhero you loved as a kid and why?
Superman. Because that was the first thing when I was a little kid. Superman was huge. And those Superman movies that came out in the 80s, man, we were obsessed with those movies. And I had Superman PJs. I love Batman, but the Batman movie didn't come out until I was 10, and Superman was earlier than that, and we were all about Superman growing up.
I think I'm with you. I think it was Superman for me.
What
about you, Snake?
I think it was Superman,
yeah.
But I also really, really love The Incredible Hulk.
I did,
just because of the TV show.
Yeah. I love the Hulk also, and I always wanted to get angry and see if I change colors.
It's never
Did you watch that show pretty religiously as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
I did, too.
What year did that come out?
Man, like, that started in the 70s.
Like Lou Ferrigno, that Hulk?
Yeah. Yes, that one.
1977. 5 seasons for The Incredible Hulk. Yeah, I watched it all the time.
I did, too. Was that, like, looking back at it, was that an adult show or a kid show? It was an adult show, right? Like, it was on prime time.
Mm-hmm.
On NBC, I think. And it was sad.
And they dubbed over his voice, didn't they? Lou Ferrigno? They just used his body?
Yeah, it was the Chinese Tom Hanks that did it.